This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, since declaring a climate emergency back in 2019, Hertfordshire County Council say that they have committed to becoming a more sustainable organisation themselves and to work with partners and residents to tackle climate change and biodiversity loss across the county. Now, you might have views on what they're doing, which is great, because they want to hear them. We're being asked to fill out a short survey about our thoughts on climate change, its impacts on Hertfordshire and Hertfordshire County Council's efforts to tackle it. The survey is open until just Friday, so whilst you do have time to fill it in, it has been open for a few weeks, so Herts County Council do already have some useful findings. I was interested to find out why we should spend even a few of our precious minutes filling out the survey, whether anything had in fact been learnt with the results so far, and how what we say might be of use. So I spoke to Councillor Eric Buckmaster, Environment Portfolio Holder for Hertfordshire County Council, about the survey, and I started by asking him, in these days of such tight budget constraints with councils across the country saying that they are desperately short of funds, is Hertfordshire County Council still sticking to the targets that it's set for itself around sustainability and climate change?
Yeah, it's a really good point. We've made really good progress. That was partly one of the reasons why we wanted to do the survey. So it's really to make people aware of what we've been doing since we declared a climate emergency in 2019, and also find out what people aren't aware of and what's important to them. But in terms of the question of the targets, we're sticking to the targets. I mean, I think the same applies to all councils. The financial situation has changed since most of us declared the emergency in 2019. But I think it's important to stick to the targets. We've made good progress. So, for example, we're approaching nearly 40% in terms of carbon reduction for the council as a whole. We've made lots of progress in terms of working with schools and others around air quality. So we'll continue with that. In terms of improving nature, that's an absolute priority. So we'll be doing all we can. And it's not just the council. We'll be working with all other agencies, our partners. And we've been successful to date applying for government funding. I'm sure there'll be some government funding. And whenever we have the opportunity, then we'll be applying for it.
Okay, well, that is good to hear. So you've indicated there, perhaps, that this survey is a bit of a two-way thing as far as information goes. But what were your specific reasons for asking us to complete your sustainability and climate change in Hertfordshire survey? How will the results be used, and what is it that you're hoping to learn?
Well, I think it's really where we can continue to improve our communications, because I'm just looking at some of the results now. So 91% of residents said it's important and very important that we take action to tackle climate change. Now, you could probably say there's a bias in that the kinds of people who would respond to a survey like this are probably some of the sustainability groups. But even among those, there are some things that people are not aware of, either within tools within our website that people can use for more information, or even some of the campaigns. So there are some campaigns where we've actually been more successful in achieving awareness than others, and that came out clearly in the results of the survey. So I guess it's looking at those, where we've had some successes, and where there are some, because they're all important. I know you said at the beginning there are some very important challenges in giving people choices, but actually there aren't any choices. We've somehow or other got to do all of it. So if we can find out the things that people are less aware of, then I think that's a good learning point.
Yes, indeed. I'm sure that it is. In one section, I noticed that you're asking us which of the actions related to sustainability we're doing. Why were you interested in that?
Well, there's a lot that can be said around behavior change. So, declaring a climate emergency and having targets for 2030 for the council and 2050 for the wider community, we need to set the tone and lead by example. But we really need, in order for things to really change, then we need to empower and enable people in the communities to do things. So whether it's finding about how they can look at better ways of reducing energy usage, improving air quality through maybe changing behaviour in terms of anti-idling. So, in other words, not idling the car outside schools and so on, and things of that nature. And also recycling more is another good example because we are the best in the region actually in terms of overall recycling as a county. It's something like 52%. But we can actually improve on that. So if we can get people to pick up on some of our themes around not wasting food, for example, which actually accounts for something like 20% of what's in the residual waste. So even after all the recycling's been done, we've done some analysis to look at what's in the remaining amount that now goes to energy creation, and that's still around 20% of food, and some of it is wasted. It's not just things off the plate, it's things that people have let go past their sell-by date and
And
therefore no longer use them. And that's a really, so we could all get our recycling rates up to the mid-60s if we can achieve that and get the message across.
could I just ask you just there, just and that's even with food waste recycling being offered to many Hertfordshire residents, still food waste is going into their landfill bin. Am I right in understanding that?
Yeah, it's not. It's the contracts we have now are not for landfill. They go to energy recovery, so they go to incineration, and then electricity is produced. We've just signed some new contracts for organic waste, which is garden waste, which have actually been very successful, and we've actually reduced the cost to the council. Now, some of that food waste will therefore go to anaerobic digestion, which again will create energy, which is another good way of doing it. From next year, all councils by legislation will have to collect food waste separately from their residual waste, and that will have to be weekly. So, if that is done properly and people take notice of that and do the right thing, and it then goes to the right work streams, then that will increase the recycling rates as well.
Okay, well, that is good to know. Another question that I was interested in is that you're asking whether we take part in any sustainability-related themes or activities within our communities. And I wondered why that was important to you.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier about behaviour change and empowering local people. So, in many of our local towns and parishes, we've got sustainability groups who are really interested in promoting behaviour change and improving the quality of their local environment. So, I mean, some of it might be encouraging people to plant more trees, and that's a really big theme that we've got. It might be around rewilding certain areas or having wildflowers. And it's very important to improve nature, and the pollinators are really important for us as well and our general health. So it's enabling people to do so, however small the piece of land might be. So some people are involved in allotments. There are others who maybe manage churchyards, small play areas, anything that we can do. And we've got a local nature recovery plan that we haven't completed yet. We're going through the various cycles, and we're going out to public engagement during the course of this year. And then we will publish that to DEFRA to gain approval. And that's identifying something like 300 sites across the county where nature can be improved. And we've also shortlisted a number of species, and we're building some maps to show what's needed in each area. So even though we might be talking to some quite strategic landowners who can take part in that, our view is that actually everybody right down to volunteers in local areas who have access to some land, can actually do something to improve their local nature environment.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure that that's true. Something else that I noticed is that within the survey, you kind of give us some really quite difficult choices, choosing between things where we'd actually want all of them to happen. You know, things like choosing between pollution prevention or making wetlands or all sorts of things. And I wondered there, is it more about making us understand the kind of choices that you're having to make, or is this so that you can help prioritize things, or why are you doing that?
I think it's all of that, really. So if by having a survey like this and we say to people, what's important to you? And, potentially we're going to do something about all of those things. But if we can understand what people are not so aware of, then maybe we can then target communities in a different way to then get them more engaged. So it's really about understanding. So it seems that we have a scheme called Your Tree, Our Future, where along with all the districts and boroughs, we were giving away, we're probably up to over 400,000 trees that have gone out since 2019. Our target is 1.2 million by 2030. That's a scheme that really resonated with the public, and that got really high scores. And there are other things like air quality, which we were surprised at, that's really important to all of us, but that the public didn't quite know so much about. So maybe it wasn't important to everybody unless you actually happen to live in one of those areas of poor air quality.
Yes, indeed. Or perhaps we need more communication on this, given that ultimately air
Yeah.
pollution does affect us all, doesn't it?
Yeah. So it's about learning from the results and finding out where we can actually either engage with people more or explain more and get them more involved.
Okay. The other thing that I can imagine a lot of people saying is it's all very well having all these environmental and sustainability targets, but given that the government has given new housing requirements, isn't all this additional housing that we're going to have to build, isn't this going to blow all of the environmental targets out of the water? Can we still stick to the targets that you have with so many additional houses and people?
Yeah, I think we can stick to it. But one of the things with developments now is that wherever there's a development of particular size, you have to demonstrate at least a 10% biodiversity net gain uplift. And I mentioned earlier that we're going through the Local Nature Recovery Plan. And if you then want to do that biodiversity net gain on a site that's already identified for local nature recovery, that gives you a 15% uplift automatically. So there are safeguards within that. But we also do need to take into account the fact that congestion and other things are really important. So if we can move towards more sustainable travel or not making so many unnecessary journeys, walking and cycling. And immediately after this meeting, I'm going to another meeting where we're going to be discussing the draft local walking and cycling infrastructure plan for East Hearts, where we're going to be looking at the maps at the things that have been identified from previous consultations and then commenting to see where the gaps are. So encouraging things like that, getting it all joined up is really important.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure that everybody would love to see more in the way, as you say, of joining up walking and cycling infrastructure. Certainly, I speak to many people who would love to do more, but say that they don't quite feel safe yet. So we'd definitely like some help there from Herts County Council
No,
whenever you're able to do it.
totally agree with you. And I when the weather's better, there's a park opposite where I live, and I can cycle when the ground is hard. I'll cycle along through the park to the town to go to meetings. This time of year, it's more difficult because it's very muddy, and I don't always feel safe on an A road with lorries trundling past. So I can certainly understand the challenges around that. So that's why we need to look at better ways of enabling people to do that.
And is it just people who live in Hertfordshire you want to hear from, or are there other people you'd like to hear from in the survey?
Well, we have borders with other local authorities, and we don't just talk to our own residents. There are many things where we're actually more strategic. So if others can provide us with information and ideas, but again, that's really important.
Okay, lovely. Good to hear. Councillor Buckmaster, thank you very much indeed for telling us about that today.
That's fine, thank you.
I was talking there to Councillor Eric Buckmaster. As I said, your responses to the survey must be submitted by Friday the 21st of March, by which Hearts County Council mean that the response deadline is midnight on Thursday. It really does only take a few minutes, and whilst most of it is easy multiple choice questions, there are plenty of text boxes so that you can give your ideas and comments. And as Councillor Buckmaster said, he'd appreciate responses from as wide a range of people as possible, and that's something that we can all help with. I'll put a link to the survey into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So would you like to hear anything more about some of those things that Councillor Buckmaster mentioned? Perhaps more about how and where our residual waste is incinerated? I thought that was quite interesting. Or more about what happens to our green waste? Or perhaps more about what's planned for cycling and walking infrastructure near you? Well, do let me know and I'll see what I can do about finding out more for you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or you can get in touch with me on Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook and on X. Now, you'll find podcasts about what Hearts County Council is doing to reduce air pollution in local schools and why it decided to join in the National Clean Air Night campaign, also on the podcast page of mix926.com. Oh, and whilst you're there, do check out the podcast of last week's episode of Environment Matters, where we learnt about the local bulk buying scheme that might be just what you need to get solar panels, plus perhaps a domestic battery and electrical vehicle charging point for your home at a great price from a fully vetted supplier. I'm going to be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.